Welcome to Fielding Questions, a podcast produced in collaboration between Egg Country Farm Credit Services and the Red River Farm Network that explores the world of agriculture and rural life. My name is Adam Albrick. Today we're speaking with Howard Olson, who serves as SVP Government and Public Affairs with Egg Country Farm Credit Services. Hello, Howard.
Hello, Adam.
Now, Howard, you've been busy meeting with elected officials lately. Of course, in today's political world, there's a lot going on. A bunch of high-profile Supreme Court decisions just came out, and the January 6th committees continued to play out there. So I'm just kind of curious, has that sucked any air out of the room in any of your conversations, or what has the mood been like recently when you've met with officials?
As I've been meeting with some of these folks over the last couple of weeks, the conversation still continues with agriculture. There's a lot going on with ag. Some of the current issues and topics have certainly pulled some of the energy away on some specific bills and programs, but Congress continues to move and has passed a couple of things that have been good for agriculture. But had a real busy week this past week. Monday, I was in Washington, D.C., for the National Council of Farmer Cooperatives Washington conference that they had. And I was able to attend on Monday, where they had a considerable discussion around the farm bill. Tuesday, we're back in Fargo again, and the Fargo-Moorhead West Fargo Chamber of Commerce had their Midwest Ag Summit. And I facilitated a panel with Senator Hovind, Senator Klobuchar, and Congresswoman Fischbach. And then on Wednesday and Thursday, I traveled to Wisconsin and had some meetings with state legislators in Wisconsin as we talked about agriculture. So it's been a busy week.
And speaking of that event that you helped moderate earlier this week, how did it go? What were some of the big takeaways and what was the mood like?
Very good moods, I think, a very good highlight. You know, we had both House and Senate members there. We had both Republican and Democrat. But when we start talking agriculture, it really becomes bipartisan. And of course, Senator Hovind, Senator Klobuchar, Congresswoman Fischbach, they all know each other really well, and I think get along really well. And so there was some nice conversation back and forth between them, and a little bit of friendly ribbing about the number one ag commodities in the two states and so on. But we talked about a number of different issues, but including the top priorities in the farm bill. And of course, crop insurance and the farm safety net are top priorities for all three of them. There was some conversation about the conservation programs, and let's make conservation programs that are farmer friendly. Nutrition being roughly 76% of the funding in the farm bill. Of course, that's important and is always a good subject of conversation, good or bad. And then also specifically with Senator Klobuchar, she mentioned broadband and smart technology in rural America. And I think one of the items, though, that really stuck with me and I think is important for everybody, and Senator Hovind really emphasized this, that what we see happening today around the world, and specifically in Ukraine and Russia, it really underscores the importance of U.S. agriculture for the world food needs, and it's certainly for our own food needs, but also how important agriculture and food is for both for global and national security. We have farm programs in this country, certainly to help out the farmers, but really the bottom line is that it's food security and national security for our country. And boy, it just isn't emphasized any more than what we're seeing right now today and what we're going to see for the next 6, 12, 18 months as we watch different events that could unfold around the world.
Now, Howard, you brought up the next farm bill. Of course, the process for crafting the next farm bill is underway with both the House and the Senate having different meetings. What stood out to you so far within those conversations?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Both the Senate has had a couple of farm bill hearings and the House has had quite a few. And I think a couple of things that kind of stand out. One, will there be any new money that can come into play here to help with new programs, or are we going to be just at the current baseline? Some experts say that there won't be any new money. Some think that it's possible. Boy, you know, a big question, does world hunger come into play as we discuss more conservation efforts? And again, everyone has an opinion on that. One item, I heard Dr. Joe Altlaw from Texas A&M. He suggested that instead of making farmers make a decision in January or February on choosing either the ARC program or the PLC farm program, just provide them give them the benefit of the one that would pay the best. His logic behind it is that with intelligent decision making, they're going to probably choose the one that's going to work the best anyway. So there isn't any additional cost to this, and it would just eliminate the stress of and the time of having to make that decision. Just pay the best of either one. Heard an interesting suggestion on Monday at the NCFC conference that can we create an index system for input costs and use that to try and index the reference price that we have on the PLC program and even for the commodity loan program and LDPs, so that those reference prices could move in relation with the input costs. Thought interesting concept and something that could be done. You know, another question is, are our conservation programs effective? So far, it's probably been more questions raised than answers, and we'll see what answers come out of this as we move forward over the next 12 to 18 months.
On the note of conservation programs, since the Biden administration came into office, there has been a lot more talk about climate smart agriculture and becoming a more focal point of the Farm Bill. Of course, there is an election or two prior to any future passage of a Farm Bill. Where do we stand today on the climate smart agriculture front?
Well, another really good question, Adam. I think the consumer and the general public, and I think farmers too, we all want to be more climate smart and trying to make a difference and do something better. I think what's going to come into play is what are these programs that might come out of this? Are they going to be, as I mentioned, farmer friendly? Will they be incented or mandatory? And of course, the entire ag industry is pushing for, let's have farmer incented climate programs. And if they are incented, is it enough of an incentive to make a difference? You know, there's the carbon markets right now, and carbon sequestration, there's a lot of talk in agriculture around that. And different ag companies have specific climate program or carbon programs. But so far, what's being offered to farmers on these programs probably isn't enough to cause them to change their farming practices and enroll in that. If they're already thinking of making the changes, this might be enough to make that push. But right now, so far, what they're able to get out of these programs isn't enough to make it pay for them. You know, so that's something that's just going to have to be considered, as if we want to incent more conservation practices and more sustainable and renewable agriculture, it's got to be somewhat market driven so that there is a return on investment in doing these, and a return on investment for the person doing it, not just for the society.
Now, the Trump administration placed a lot of tariffs out there during while they were in power. And so far in the first year and a half of the Biden administration, it doesn't really seem like many of those tariffs have been rolled back. Now, of course, you have a Russia-Ukraine conflict, which is really causing some serious displacement in terms of food and where it goes throughout the world. Has there been any talk that you've heard of in which we might be looking at rolling back some of these tariffs in order to help some of that food situation around the world?
No, I have not heard of any that they're considering of rolling back. I've heard of a couple of different markets where we've really lost our international market because of some of those tariffs, and it's impacted that industry. And these are smaller markets, smaller industry. But so far, I have not heard of anything that's in consideration being roll back. It's taken the Biden administration quite a while to get the appointees in place in our trade offices. One was just appointed here or presented to the Senate just a few weeks ago. So, and this is, we're almost, a year and a half into the Biden administration already. And I'm not being critical of this administration. I think every administration has challenges with these appointments, and it all takes time. And of course, the Senate has been preoccupied with other different items too. But I'm just stating, you know, making this point that Getting the right people in place to make a lot of these things happen just takes time, and we're just getting to that point now where we're starting to fill those positions.
Switching gears a bit here, let's talk about some state-level politics. The Minnesota legislature was in session earlier this year, but given that it wasn't a budget year, nothing necessarily needed to get done. One item of note that did make it to the governor's desk, however, was a bipartisan ag bill featuring drought relief and broadband funding, among others, which is a small win for area farmers, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, very much so. And specifically on the drought relief for those. And I'm thinking more across the northern part of Minnesota and the folks with livestock and cow-calf operations where they said had to sell, you know, cow-calf pairs because of running out of pasture. They had additional costs for hauling feed or water and so on. The program now that was passed in the legislature in Minnesota this year provides a grant up to $7,500 for any additional expenses that farmers may have incurred due to the drought. And again, targeted towards the livestock, you know, so it's for hauling feed or hauling water from longer distances.
Howard, is there anything else of note to mention before we sign off here?
Yeah, we've been really active with the former Congressman Colin Peterson in a group called the Midwest Council on Agriculture. And this Midwest Council on Agriculture was formed by several agribusinesses throughout a six-state area, really to bring a voice of the upper Midwest into Washington. And just want to mention that this is moving along real nicely. We're somewhere 60 to 70 members, but we are holding a Midwest Council Agriculture Forum in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota on August 22nd and 23rd. And this is specifically for members of the Midwest Council on Agriculture. But we're going to be looking, visiting with individuals from different universities throughout our four or five states and talk about a number of different ag issues, but also should we be looking at some type of a Center for Rural Policy or Center for Ag Policy collaboration between those. So just some interesting information or some interesting events that are happening right now and some good thoughts of what we might be able to do in this area. Just wanted to throw that out there as something that, another item that we're working on. One other piece here, and this one's really interesting. I've had the opportunity to work with Mark Jurek at the Northern Crops Institute, along with a couple of other people, and we are putting together a board and executive level conference called the Next 5 Years. In agriculture here, just in people in general, we're talking about, wow, we're going to have electric vehicles, we're going to have hydrogen vehicles, and we're going to be out of the fossil fuels. Well, we seem to be jumping so far ahead. That's going to be a long time before that comes. We're jumping ahead to 10 or 12 or 20 years, and we don't think about what are the next 5 years going to bring. So we're really trying to put together a conference here, a board and executive level information, kind of starting out with a global ag and food outlook and the implications and opportunities to both the U.S. and Midwest agriculture. Then we're going to start to drill down a little further into the food supply and supply chains, talk about drought, fertilizer, all of these things and the implications that they have to food supply. How does climate action fit into all of this? And then last, we're at an energy and ag crossroads here right now, and I think a lot of opportunities for agriculture in the energy area, for example, with renewable diesel and sustainable aviation fuels and so on. And so we're going to have a good discussion around that as well. That conference is going to be on Monday, September 12th, and it will be held in Moorhead. This is the Monday right before Big Iron, but it'll be held in Moorhead and something that we'll have some more information coming out on in the near future.
Well, fantastic. Thank you very much, Howard, for joining us here today. We truly appreciate that.
Very good. And thank you, Adam.
That is Howard Olson, SVP Government and Public Affairs with Egg Country Farm Credit Services. Thanks for listening along today. If you have a question about a financial topic, Egg Country would love to hear from you. You can message them on Facebook, tweet at them on Twitter, or submit your question using their website at eggcountry.com.